In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. Today, the third day and final day of our camp, is the feast, or the vigil of the feast of St. James, the Apostle. Now, St. James was the brother of St. John, and he left everything in his life behind in order to follow our Lord. In fact, he didn't even hesitate for a moment. It says that our Lord came and called to him and to St. John while they were actually in the boat, their ship, mending their nets. They were fixing up their nets for fishing. And they were there with their father, and our Lord called them, and they didn't hesitate in the slightest. They just threw down their nets and immediately left all behind to follow Christ. And because they were so faithful in doing that, and they followed him everywhere he went and became so close to our Lord, they were some of his most trusted confidants. They became, as we know very well, they became apostles. They were to be the first preachers of the faith, the ones to spread it throughout the world, and given many great graces to do so by our Lord. But just because they were made apostles does not mean that they were immune to temptation altogether. It does not mean that they didn't have times where they struggled in their lives. Just because they left their nets behind, they still had to fight that good fight to save their souls. And we see this so often. We see with St. James, temptations in his lifetime. Like, for instance, our Lord asks him one simple task during his agony in the garden, to stay awake and pray 1 hour, and he falls asleep. Or we see that he could have the opportunity to follow his own brother, St. John, along that pathway with our Lord during his passion. But he's afraid. He's afraid like many of the other apostles, and doesn't go. He hides in the upper room of that temptation of fear. And we see the other apostles tempted too. St. Peter, we see him tempted in fear when he makes his denial 3 times of our Lord in the garden. We see St. Thomas doubt our Lord's resurrection. And we see St. Paul. He wasn't an apostle at the time of the crucifixion, but afterwards. And we see him, and he talks about his temptations in his life. And he says that the sting of the flesh was strong, and he besought our Lord 3 times. He prayed to our Lord 3 times until finally it was taken away from him. And many of the spiritual writers talk about this threefold beseeching of our Lord and that sting of the flesh, and note that it probably was temptations against the flesh, temptations against purity. But St. Paul overcomes it, but not without trial. He has to pray very hard. He has to persevere in that. He has to repeat those prayers. And finally, our Lord takes it away. You see, as we have our last sermon for the camp, this is the virtue that I want to focus on today, that of holy purity. This idea of purity, once again, like last night we talked about with humility oftentimes gets thought of as a feminine virtue, but it shouldn't be. Purity, too, gets thought of sometimes as a feminine virtue, but it never should be. It's truly a virtue for everybody, and we can be very manly by our practice of the virtue of purity. When we think of purity, our minds immediately, once again, just like humility, go to Our Lady. And our minds go to those who are listed in, as saints, as, you know, virgins or virgin martyrs and things like that. But all of us are all called to be pure. And all of us are going to have to fight against those temptations. If we see it throughout the lives of the saints, if these holiest of men could not be exempt from that fight for purity, then we can't be either. Saint Benedict, when he was tempted against purity one time, he knew that the only way to overcome this longing desire for a pleasure of the flesh was to cause it some discomfort. And so he took a supreme act upon himself, a very courageous act, and he dove himself headlong into a thorn bush and rolled around in the thorns. Because by taking the desire for comfort of the flesh and causing it pain, he could finally overcome that burning temptation there. St. Thomas Aquinas, when he was trying to become a Dominican priest, his parents locked him away in a tower for over a year to dissuade him from becoming a priest and from joining the Dominican order. And so he was locked up in this tower for over a year, and they tried to bring him out of that desire in many ways, even going so far as to send a woman to tempt him against his own holy purity. And rather than even give in the slightest of ways, St. Thomas does the exact opposite. He immediately reaches into the fire and picks up a red-hot iron that's in the fire, like a fire poker that's been sitting in there, and it's glowing hot. And he threatens the woman until she finally leaves his room with the poker, because he is so serious about guarding his purity that he will chase anybody who's going to violate it off and away from him immediately. Blessed Martin the Poor, as it was said, that the devil actually came and tempted him against his purity. The devil actually manifested himself as a beautiful woman dressed in red and came to tempt Blessed Martin the Poor, and came into the monastery, and he was all alone there at night time. And he saw her, and it said of him that the temptation there being manifested, the devil allowing to appear in the form of flesh, he recognized it immediately and without hesitation took the belt that he was wearing around his habit off and beat the devil physically out of the monastery. He chased off the devil, striking it again and again with his belt, not even allowing that moment of temptation to enter into his heart. And so we see for ourselves that same thing. It's temptation comes to us, and we can't prevent it. We're going to be tempted in our lives. There are going to be times that it comes. But we can fight against it. We have to fight against it. We have to be manly. We have to stand strong in the face of temptation and not give it an inch of room to conquer us. Not even an ounce of chance to become a sin. Because we have to remember, temptation and sin are two different things. Just because temptation comes doesn't mean we've sinned. As long as we're fighting it, we're not sinning. In fact, we're gaining virtue. We're gaining graces. But when that temptation comes, we have to immediately recognize it and fight it off. So how do we do so when temptation comes against our purity? The first and foremost thing to remember about the temptations against the flesh is that oftentimes we can prevent them by avoiding those occasions which tempt us. We can't pretend to be strong-willed. We can't, and when it comes to the sins against the flesh, we can't pretend that we can stick our hand into that proverbial fire and not get burned. We have to have no part of those occasions of sin whenever we can avoid them. So if that means that something impure comes on the television, we should turn it off immediately. Or if there's something on the internet that we know is going to lead us astray, then it's better to not use the computer at all and maintain our grace than it is to fall from grace because we want to look curiously at images. Secondly, is our prayer. We have to always be prayerful. When those temptations come, we have to have our first recourse to prayer. Like St. Paul said, he prayed 3 times, and we don't pretend to think that it meant he prayed, 3 little short prayers. No, he persevered in prayer 3 times in order to make sure that he could finally cast off those temptations against the flesh. So we too have to immediately turn to our Lord. We can't do this fight on our own. We can't succeed on our own for our souls. We need grace from God. We need His assistance to protect us. We need that prayer to bring us from those things of temptation and lift us up to the things of God. Next, we have to remember flight. Now, that doesn't necessarily sound on the surface level as a manly action. You know, when we think of men, we think of, strong men. They race into the battle. They go, right away without any kind of fear whatsoever into the fight. But when it comes to the temptations against the flesh, if those temptations are there around us, the more manly thing to do is to actually flee from them. Think of it rather than a man going into a battle bravely, but turn it into what it really is a man running into an army all by himself. It's foolish. You can't win. There's no chance of success to run after the temptations of the flesh and try to meet them head on. You cannot win that battle. You have to take leave from it. That man, is faced with that army, if he's smart, if he has truly manly virtues, he will move on, fly away, and come back to fight another day when he's better armed against it. If he doesn't have to take on that temptation if he doesn't have to take on that army, he won't. And same thing with us. If we don't have to be faced with temptation, then we shouldn't. We should run away from it because we have to protect our souls no matter what the cost. And to fly away from those temptations truly is the harder thing for us to do because it draws us in. And lastly, we should remember always that we have to occupy ourselves. An idle mind and an idle hands are the devil's playground. If we are not busy, then temptation in our thoughts will come. Temptation against purity will easily come to us if we're just sitting around doing nothing. And so we should be occupied with things in our life. We should not be sitting around like a bump on a log because all we're doing is open the door for temptation. And if that temptation does come, the best thing to do is to take our mind off of it by some sort of activity. Go and say some prayers. Go for a walk and pray your rosary. Then you're doing 2 of those at the same time. Or engage in some sort of work around the house or engage in some sort of activity or, even go and have and play a game. Whatever that takes to take your mind off of that temptation is what you have to do. Because we ultimately have to remember that there's nothing more precious to us, there's no greater gift to us that God has given than the purity of our souls. There's no thing in our lives, which God has given us, which makes Him want to come and dwell with us more than a pure heart and a pure soul. He loves that. He wants to be united with that always. And that has to be our recognition. A man would not let a thief come in and just take his most valued treasure. You know, a husband and a father would not let a thief come in and steal away his family. He wouldn't do that. He would stand strong and protect them to his last breath. And the same goes for us, that even more valuable than a man's family is his own soul. And so we have to guard that gift always against every single assault. We cannot rest. We cannot wait for us to begin our spiritual battle. We have to always be on guard, ready for whenever that temptation comes. And we have to protect ourselves no matter how hard it is. The world wants you to believe that impurity is normal or even good. But we know, because of our faith, we know that it's the exact opposite. That it should be disgusting to us to think that our souls will become unpleasing to the eyes of God by falling into those sins. And we have to recognize that it's easy to give in to those sins. It's hard to fight against those temptations. It's hard to take the stand against impurity in our lives. But it's the manly thing to do. It's the right thing to do. It's the necessary thing to do. Because we want, on our deathbed, on our judgment day, our Lord to see us standing before Him and to see that purity in our hearts and souls there, and to see that, recognize it for the beautiful image that it is, and to immediately embrace us into eternity because we've fought that good fight to maintain the cleanness of our soul. That is the practice of virtue, of purity. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.